Good morning. The house isn't near as full this morning as it is sometimes, but I'm glad for each one of you that is here, and I bless you for being here. I've titled my message this morning, The Battle in Our Mind. How many of you find that there's a battle that's happening in your mind? I think we'd all raise our hands. Sometimes those battles maybe a little bit like Caitlin was saying, those battles take us in a long downward draw. Sometimes they're short. But the fact is we all face battles in our minds. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 27. We're going to read just a couple of verses out of Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 1 through 4. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. This was David writing. David was a man of war. And if you look at what he says here, the different things that could bring fear in the first verse, it gives him, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He's got a clear path as he trusts in God in what he's facing. He's his strength. And there's a confidence in verse 3, but then we go to verse 4, and he gives us a taste of his desire. He wants to be in the presence of God. And as I read that, I kind of reflected back on myself. What am I looking for? Am I looking for the presence of God? I like for us to stand, and we're going to repeat the last verse of this chapter. Danny, something's not happening here. Can you take me to the next frame? Whoop, I pushed the button just when you did. Sorry. Okay, that's where we're at. I'd like for us to repeat this verse two times together. I've been looking at this verse for my personal growth over the last 2 weeks. And there's so much in this verse. So let's repeat this verse twice. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Again, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You may be seated. And we're going to come back to that verse at the end of the message this morning. Again, I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. If you recall, two messages ago, we had gone to this scripture. Let me read it here and we'll come back to it. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who knows what we talked about when we went through that scripture last time? There was some specific thing out of verse 1 that we looked at. You gave me a lot of suggestions about this. The weights. I asked you for a list of weights, and I said we're going to come back and look at some of these weights. This morning we're going to look at one. I'm going to read a couple of the words that we received last time, and you tell me what all these direct back to. Some are strong, some are not very strong. Aging, rejection, worry, loss of health, embarrassment, concern or worry that family members will be lost. What do these direct back to? What's one word we can think about when we see these? Fear. Now, Harold preached a message on fear not too long ago. So if you like, you can go back and re-listen to that. There was some really good stuff in there. These all point back to fear. Some aren't strong. Some are just touching it. Some are very strong. So this morning we want to think a little bit about the word fear. We're all in a race. We are running in our life, the Christian life, because we have a goal. We want to come to the end victorious. And if we have something in our life that's weighing us down, we can't run very fast, can we? Eric Little was a man who ran. I'm not sure, was it in the 60s maybe? But he ran and he gave it everything he had. But he didn't wear his coat to run. He didn't wear a backpack with stones in it. He laid aside every weight that he had to run. He ran with purpose. See if this thing works again, Danny. Thank you, it does. Here's some things that fear does to us. Fear takes away our freedom. Fear can paralyze us. Fear will keep me from running successfully. Maybe fear will even try to convince us to get out of the race. I don't like fear. I'll be honest with you, I don't. I'm guessing there's some of you here this morning that also don't like fear. The interesting thing is, as children, growing up in our Christian homes or non-Christian homes, wherever we grew up in, there were attitudes, there were beliefs that we saw played out in our parents' life, in our teaching. Maybe there was a traumatic experience in our life that created this. But all of us are going to respond a bit different when it comes to fear because of where we've come from. And in that, we need to be gracious with each other. Because of our experiences, we form some mental health patterns. Let's think about this mental health pattern as this. We're going down through a mud trail. It has just rained. Those of you farmers know what it's like. You go back a trail where it's just rained, the ground isn't solid, and you make a deep rut. When you come back up that trail, the rut gets deeper yet. And then the next day you go back that trail again. And before you know it, you have a very, very deep rut, and then the rains quit and it dries. What happens when you get back into that rut with your truck? You're stuck in the rut, aren't you? Until you drive into that rut, and it seems like it's just natural for us to get into that rut and live a life like that. Let me give you an example. Blame. Some of us are very good, including myself. We know how to blame somebody else. Something happened in my life, so I'm going to blame Vonda, my wife. A couple days later, something happens again. I go right back to blaming Vonda. And it's not long until that's natural. I come back and I blame her. I blame somebody else for the issues in my life. Because we've created a mental pattern in our life, a habit. And as we begin or as we continue to walk in that, we build what we call a stronghold. Harold would know a whole lot more about strongholds than I do, because he teaches in that. He's counseled in that. But we build a stronghold. Strongholds aren't always easy to get out of. I'm going to give you an example. I'm not going to name the issue. But over the past year, I sunk into a stronghold and I didn't realize it. As I began to search for this message, and God brought something into my life that I never expected. And through my studies, all of a sudden, I got hit square in the face. I have a stronghold. And because of that stronghold, my family's been affected. Because of that stronghold, I'm not living victorious. It's where I went to every day. I'd be at work working, and this same stronghold kept coming back day after day after day. And I didn't detect it. And God brought that back to me. Fear is a stronghold if we allow it to get that far. Maybe there's something else in your life. We're going to look at more over the next couple of messages. Fear is the what ifs in life. What if? What if I do this? What's going to happen? What if? Fear is a distraction. It keeps us from running successfully. And when I allow this fear to be my forefront, I take my eyes off of running the race for Christ. The fear takes over. And spiritually, I become paralyzed. I will not walk faithfully with God. Our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Think about that for a bit. Our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Yes, that's science. We're also going to realize that that's scripture. That we move in the direction that we think. Each one of us does. I want you to think about this for a minute. In 10 years, if you live and the Lord tarries, you will have the opportunity to walk up to a mirror and look in a mirror, and you are a product of what you've thought about the last 10 years. Not what somebody else thought, what you thought. As I walk to that mirror in 10 years and I look in that mirror, yeah, I see I'm getting older. There's more wrinkles. There's more gray. But who I am inside, what my thoughts are, is a result of where I've gone the last 10 years. What we think about today shapes our tomorrow, shapes who we become tomorrow. And that was Craig Groeschel that said those two. They're not exactly those words, but close. What we think today will shape who we become tomorrow. Here's a couple of scriptures that just bless me over and over and over. He gives us an idea. How are we to think? This is not me coming up with this. This is in the Word. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Think about this as I read this. Am I thinking on true things? Am I thinking on honest things? Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He goes back there to verse 8. Verse 8 and verse 9 connect. But in verse 8 there, he's telling him, think on these things. It gives us something to think about. We do those things. We think on them. And we do those things. And what is the result there in verse 9? The God of peace is going to be with us. We want that in our lives, don't we? But it's going to take some work for us to get there. Paul instructs us to think on the good, to do the good, so we have that presence in our lives. We all have negative thought patterns. Sometimes we think things we really don't want to think, and we allow that to continue to fester, and it becomes a stronghold. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Am I okay with the strongest thoughts that I'm thinking today, where they're going to take me? I'm not pointing at you. I'm thinking about myself, but I want you to think about yourself. The strongest thoughts that you spent time musing over in your life, are you okay with where that's going to take you? If you are, and you know it's good, continue. But if you can see out ahead that this thought that I'm thinking is going to take me downhill, then it's time to stop and recalculate, isn't it? Go back and find out what's going on. There's a battle in our minds. We've talked about that. And the only way this battle is won by going to the Father. But it's of utmost importance that we look at our lives. And if there are issues, that we confront them. Luke 6:43, I'd just like to read that to you this morning. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So we're looking at a plant. This plant is going to produce good or it's going to produce bad. Verse 44, for every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Now listen to verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's within me is what I'm continually thinking about. I think we need to take inventory personally. But here's what Satan likes to do. He likes to come to us with lies. Satan is the father of lies. That's what Scripture tells us. Here's some lies that Satan brings to us. I'm not good enough. When I have him in me and I am in him, I have all I need. No, it's not me, but it's him in me. He's good enough, isn't he? And when he's within me, we are his. We are one. We work together. Another lie, I can't be forgiven. I've been there. Have you? Scripture says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive some of our sins. Well, not quite right, is it? All our sins. He said he forgives all our sins. I'll never look good. I believe it's Psalm 139 that says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Whoever we are fearfully made. God has created us. I'm just a loser. Scripture says whoever is born of God overcometh the world. That doesn't sound like a loser to me. We're overcomers. God doesn't really care about me. Casting all your care upon me, upon him, for he careth for you. Isn't that an awesome promise? He cares for us individually, each one of us. And another one, I cannot change my bad habits. And for that, I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, we're going to look at verse 1 and 2. I cannot change my bad habits. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 2 there, and be not conformed to this world. Marcus talked about worldliness for a bit this morning. Being conformed to this world is to think as the world thinks. Again, we're thinking about thinking, our thought life. If we think as the world does, then we're conformed to the world. We don't think. We have a higher level of thinking when it comes to Jesus. No, we're not any better than anybody else. But our thinking is on Him. Be ye transformed, He says. That is to be changed. And by the way, the transformation that happens, yes, it is being born again. But the next phrase talks about a renewing of our mind. That's how we're transformed. There's a renewing of our mind. And I believe the renewing of our mind is not a one-time thing. I believe that's a daily thing. I'm not born again daily. But my mind is renewed and refreshed by Him every day. That's how it needs to be. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, so we can come into alignment with God and be able to discern His will. God desires, He actually requires that we have a transformation that takes place. Why? So we can live to honor and glorify Him. That is our key reason for being here. To honor and glorify Him. This is renewing our mind. So now we have all this information. So what can we do Move me to the next one again, Danny. Thank you. What can we do? What is our plan that we can set up? And I had these set up to where they didn't all come up at the same time. Something's happening there. But anyhow, the first thing we need to do is to know our fear or our stronghold. Did you know that knowing your fear or your stronghold or your issue is probably 85% of solving your problem? Just admitting that I have an issue. So we know our fear. We know our stronghold. Because if we don't know our fear, if we don't know our stronghold, how can we work on that stronghold? How can we solve the issue? We're not going to be able to defeat what we can't define. We need to define what the issue is. And if you're sitting here this morning thinking, I don't have any issues, I encourage you, get on your knees, seek God, and if you don't, God bless you. But I found out, as people that are still in human bodies, we have issues, and we need to work through them. Seek God, and allow Him to show you what your stronghold is. It's the only way you're going to set up a battle plan, is to know what you're fighting against. David did not go out and fight for the fun of it. David had a purpose in going to fight. Set up a battle plan when you know your stronghold. Bring your battle plan to the cross. I'm sorry, your stronghold to the cross. Let His blood wash over it. In our language today, we say repent. If it's a weight that's bogging you down, and it's something that's maybe just a distracting thing, ask God to remove it. But if it's a sin, bring it to God and repent. And allow Him to remove it. I find that there's no better place of freedom than at the foot of the cross. Oh, there's lots of tears, but that's a place of freedom. When we come to Him and we give Him everything and ask Him to take it. And by the way, when we ask Him to take it, don't go pick it back up. Let Him keep it. He's happy to remove it. The third thing we need to do is to believe. Satan would love to bring doubt into your mind. You take it to the foot of the cross and you repent. Satan comes back again and says, you know, I remember back there. And that ties in with our last one there. Raise your Ebenezer. Let me explain that one a little bit. We talked about that one here a couple Sundays ago. When the children of Israel fought against the Philistines and they won, Samuel went out and he piled up some stones. This was raising an Ebenezer. It was a declaration that so far God has helped us. If you need to raise an Ebenezer, if you need to do something, talk to somebody or write it down. Somehow raise an Ebenezer so you have a point of reference to come back to. And you can tell Satan, no, this is where I took care of that issue. You have absolutely no right in my life anymore. It's gone. Believe it. And don't allow Satan to push you around with doubt. Trust. Trust in God. And believe that He's going to take care of the issue This will bring you joy and freedom. Science tells us that it takes 6 weeks for us to change to a new habit. I'm on week one. I'll just be honest with you. The struggle that I'm facing, this is my first week, and it's been a hard week. Because when that comes back to me, I take it to the cross. And I ask God, not that. I want what you want. It's hard. But it's scripture that we take it to the cross and he brings us freedom. So yes, science does say it takes 6 weeks. But for this to happen, there's something got to happen in our life. We have to choose to pursue it. You can leave here today and know you have a stronghold and you're going to come back exactly the same next Sunday. Or you can leave here today and know you have a stronghold and take action. And allow God to change that in your life. I'm excited because I can already tell a difference in my first week with the issue that I'm struggling with. It's not easy. Sometimes we think Christianity is so nice and clean. But can I tell you this morning, Christianity can get messy. Repentance is messy. Sometimes it creates some things in our lives that we don't like. But it's the only way out. Let me encourage you to take that step. Now, I want to leave you this morning with some promises. First promise I want to leave with you is 1 Peter 5, 7. And these are promises concerning fear. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Take that personally. He cares specifically for you. And he's waiting with open arms. If you have a care, bring it to me. You know how many times I walk around with a backpack on my back that's loaded with cares that I'm too stubborn to give to God? And he's just waiting. The invitation is there for us to give it to him and to allow him to change us. Psalm 34, 4 and 5. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Psalm 23, 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Life is full of fears, but if we bring those to him, he brings us freedom. He takes away the paralysis. And he gives us something to live for. Scripture says he wants us to have the desires of our heart. What are your desires this morning? Do you want to walk close with him? Are you willing to take what you know is in your life, those strongholds, those weights, those sins, and allow him to renew you, repent, and to walk in faithfulness? I'd like for you to stand. Dan, if you can get that last frame up. This is the same verse that we started with. But the fact is, as we seek God, not always is it a quick turnaround. But as we seek God, sometimes we have to wait. Maybe this wait is service. Maybe this wait is literally waiting. But he's there for us, but sometimes it just takes time. Let's again repeat this verse together. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, say on the Lord. Thank you so much this morning for your attentiveness. I really appreciate when I can see your interacting. There's smiles, there's head nods. That helps us. Let's pray. God, you are good. You're the God that wants to take away our struggles, our strongholds. Lord, sometimes I'm so stubborn. I think I can carry it on my own. When you're just standing there waiting, patiently asking to take from me what I'm carrying. And I bless you for that. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would work in each heart this morning and in mine. Lord, that we'd be willing to take that step, that action, to find freedom. And if the road gets tough, Lord, you're there. Maybe even to carry us if you have to. We just bless you for that. Thank you. We love you. We ask that you would bless the food that's been prepared. Help us to use it to honor and glorify you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.